This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. No one gives new parents a handbook when they leave the hospital. Most of us just muddle through and do the best we can. But when children struggle with mental illness, the questions parents ask and the answers they get grow exponentially in importance. A new documentary shows that getting the right answers is harder than ever. About one in five adolescents suffers from a severe mental disorder. That's according to the National Institutes of Mental Health. Yet adolescents are misdiagnosed over and over, and they are provided with ineffective and inefficient treatment, sometimes with tragic results. Josh Sabe wrote and directed the documentary Going Sane. Its North Carolina premiere is at the Cary Theater this Thursday, August 25th at 7 o'clock. And Josh Sabe is with me now. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Also with us and featured in the documentary is Joan Rederer. Her family tried for years to get help for her daughter, Erin, to overcome anorexia. Joan is now a parent advocate and director of the Erin Rederer Foundation. Joan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cynthia Bulick is with us as well. She is a distinguished professor of eating disorders at the University of North Carolina and director of research at UNC's Center of Excellence for Eating Disorders. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Josh, tell us more about what's behind the premise of this documentary.
Well, the documentary began really as a personal experience. My family, I have a sister who struggled with anorexia for 7 years. And, throughout that time, she went to treatment center after treatment center and, paid thousands and thousands of dollars for different therapists. And, we began to do our own research because she was just getting worse after all these treatments. And we found out that the treatments she was receiving were not the treatments recommended in scholarly journals. So we just tried to figure out how this was happening. And that was really the impetus for this documentary.
And this is a montage from the film that gives us a sense of how much is out there.
It's basically everybody just gets to make it up as they go.
At Sundance, we believe that equine psychotherapy is a very, very important piece of experiencing treatment with us.
Experts are increasingly turning to cooking therapy.
Mental health professionals have applied the curative powers inherent in play.
When you collect puppets for play therapy purposes, it's important to have a vast collection.
Floating or flotation therapy.
And we have our adventure program where we have both low and high ropes elements.
Anything else you'd like there?
Yeah, how about the french fries?
Go ahead, why don't you pick up a handful?
That's it.
Okay.
What's the matter?
I got a shock.
Come on, take some more.
That's a clip from the documentary Going Sane. The film is screening at the Cary Theater on August 25th. I'm talking with the writer-director Josh Sabe, eating disorder expert Cynthia Bulick, and parent advocate Joan Rederer. Cynthia Bulick, the implication in what Josh was talking about is that not a lot of the treatments out there are really evidence-based treatments. Give us a sense of the scope of what's out there.
I think your montage really nailed it, Frank. I mean, it's pretty clear that eating disorders treatment is big business. Those of us in university-based centers, we're doing the research, we're conducting clinical trials, and we're coming up with evidence that says this is how we should treat people with eating disorders. But yet when we go out there, we see for-profit centers and individual clinicians popping up all over the place saying they specialize in treating eating disorders, but they're not delivering those treatments.
Joan Rederer, let me talk with you. Your daughter was diagnosed with anorexia at the age of 11. Tell us what it was like for you and your family trying to seek treatment.
It was awful. First of all, we had a pediatrician who was very hesitant to give her a diagnosis of anorexia nervosa. So as time passed, months in particular, she lost more and more weight. And certainly that is a critical time in recovery that you have to act quickly. Resources were not available to us. It was by guess and by golly. The pediatrician, let's try this. Then ending up in a general psych unit where at 11 years old, she saw things that she clearly should not have. There was nothing specific to eating disorders there.
Because of where she was. And you were, as I understand it, basically locked out of the care. The theory was that they wanted to keep the family out of this. Am I right?
Absolutely. The parent was the enemy. There was something, there was philosophy at that time that is somewhat better now, that the parent was the cause of the eating disorder. So at age 11 years old, we were not allowed to talk with Aaron other than a very small period of phone conversation and visitation was minimal. In no part of her therapy were we involved in how to handle what was going on in this devastating illness of our daughter.
Joan, tell us why you became a parent advocate for this cause.
Well, very early on, it was very clear to me that we were not getting the resources that we needed. So I began going to conferences, eating disorder conferences, to see what was going on in the country, to see who did know exactly what to do with these young people in a very devastating with a devastating illness. So that started my advocacy. There was no online searching that I could do. It was, I was on my own.
And your daughter, Erin, passed away at the age of 28, am I right?
Correct. After 17 years of treatment, she had all the treatment in the world, but not the sustained support that someone with this illness really needs.
Cynthia Bulick, you described the array of treatments out there, apparently not evidence-based. Is there any certification process? How do I know who's using evidence and who's not?
And that's part of the problem. Within the field, there actually isn't a way to say this program is certified or this program isn't. In fact, all that parents see are the glossy brochures generally that come from the for-profit programs. The university-based programs usually don't have big marketing budgets. They don't have marketing staff. But these for-profit centers have the ability to get their information out in front of physicians and out in front of parents. And those names and those centers are what come to mind when you have a parent and a child in front of you in your office.
Now, I'm guessing it doesn't divide quite that neatly. There may be some for-profit centers out there that are evidence-based, but our problem is there's no way of knowing that, or how do I check to know what you're basing your therapies on?
Right. I think parents really need better guidance in how to be informed consumers. When they go and visit or talk to these places on the phone, they need to know the questions to ask. Are they delivering cognitive behavioral therapy? And not only that, who's delivering the therapy? Do you have licensed psychologists, licensed social workers? Or, for example, do you have bachelor's-level people that are basically minding the group of folks who are there for treatment at the time? We really want parents to be informed to get answers that Joan wasn't able to get when her daughter needed help.
Josh Sabe, you said that putting this documentary together was based on your personal experience after your sister was diagnosed with anorexia. What have you learned in the process of putting this documentary together?
So learned about, I guess, the state of the field for how things are. And what we believe part of the solution can be is informed consumers, which is really the goal of the documentary, is to help people understand the problem. And then our website, goingsane.org, we provide information of where people can go to find evidence-based treatments for specific illnesses so they can go with informed questions to ask and be wise consumers rather than just showing up and trusting professionals, which we wish we could do.
We're talking about eating disorders here, but you were looking at mental health treatment more broadly, weren't you?
Yeah, Going Sane is about the state of mental health treatment in America.
Do the same issues apply to most other mental health therapies?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we made this documentary, is we realized this was an issue with anorexia. And then we started talking with other people with other mental health conditions and other families and realized, oh, this is not limited to the treatment of anorexia. This is ubiquitous.
Does it apply both to diagnosis and to treatment? Are we talking about who we go to see and then where we go to get better?
Absolutely. There's inconsistent diagnosis models, different ways of deciding what the mental illness is, and totally different kinds of treatment just depending on where you go and who diagnoses you.
Cynthia Bulick, give us a sense of what does work or what the evidence shows might work, and when we're talking about eating disorders anyway.
Well, for anorexia especially, the absolute opposite of what Joan was talking about. She was talking about this old approach, which is the parentectomy approach, remove the child from the parents. For young people with anorexia, at this point, the treatment of choice is family-based therapy. So you actually get the whole family involved with re-nourishing the child. And it's very hard to treat a child with anorexia nervosa without the cooperation of the family and without having them in the sessions. So there's really been a complete 180. We completely turned around in how we address this illness.
Joan Reeder, when you were told that you were going to be shut out of the treatment, what did they say was the reason for that?
They didn't. They absolutely didn't. This was at a time when we were told that our daughter was being handled by the experts. And we assumed that was the type of care that you needed to do with this clearly difficult illness to treat. So we didn't know. No. We were told, yeah, it was a good place to be.
And Cynthia, that I think if what you have found over time is that we refer to it as the family ectomy or the parent ectomy, there's a certain amount of guilt that used to be imputed to parents when this was diagnosed, right?
Absolutely. And that is the biggest disservice that we have done for both patients and families who have had eating disorders, is this parent blaming. And this came out in the documentary too, that almost every psychiatric illness has gone through this history of being something that's blamed on parenting or mothering. Autism was there, schizophrenia was there. We would never say that at this point about autism. We know it's a neurodevelopmental disease. The problem with anorexia is we're really still behind the eight ball in getting people to realize that this is not something that is caused by the family or just by society, that there are clear biological and genetic reasons why someone gets this illness.
Joan Reeder, was that something, though, that you felt in the beginning of this process, particularly because you were told you weren't to be involved in the treatment?
Yes. I can say with our daughter, there was a clear indication that it happened so quickly that this was not just a behavioral issue. Our daughter's entire demeanor changed overnight. So it was clear that they were not addressing the real issue of just refeeding our daughter.
Josh Sabe, what were some of the other issues that you found in doing this documentary around the country?
So I think the two main issues that we deal with have been discussed here, but one is the lack of evidence-based treatment. 80%, depending on which mental health care, but up to 80% of therapists are not using evidence-based treatment. That's a high number. And then we go on to, so what is keeping therapists and, you know, separate from families? Why aren't families aware that they're not using evidence-based treatment? We realize it's because families don't know what treatment's even being used. So families aren't there to be a check and a balance. They're not there to say, oh, we're not sure this is working, because they have no clue what's happening.
Cynthia Bulick, why wouldn't you use evidence-based treatment? It just might work, and that would be something else you could put on your brochure. It seems to me, yeah.
Yeah, sure. That could be a good selling point. And, you know, hopefully that's where things will go if we start getting some more regulations. You know, I think the problem is it's kind of easy just to sit down and do talking therapy without following any evidence base. If you want to deliver evidence-based treatment, you need to be trained. And you need to continue to be trained and keep up with your continuing medical or continuing education. That takes effort and that takes money. And we do have some responsibility to disseminate this better. But we also need to work on regulations. You know, in the UK now, if you don't deliver evidence-based treatment, you don't get reimbursed. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we need to look to here in this country in order to make sure that we're delivering more evidence-based care.
That's a little surprising that insurance companies would pay for therapies that aren't evidence-based, because they're clearly not getting the results, and that's what you want to do if you're an insurance company, right?
It's true.
Josh, what have you found that? Did you talk to insurance companies in terms of why, you know, that would be a thing? I mean, this was supposed to be the virtue of private pay, right? They're much more efficient than the government. They would never allow therapies that wouldn't work because they're so money conscious. And yet.
Yeah, we have not. We didn't interview insurance companies. We have, of course, talked with a lot of people about insurance. And there's the state of insurance right now is just so in the air that it's hard to nail down much. But we do know that they're not just paying for evidence-based treatment, and the reasons are various. But they pay for what treatment that that they've been paying for for the last 50 years.
Cost for the deliverer, or for the provider, the cost of delivering better care is, you know, clearly an obstacle. But again, if you're paying for the care, you might just want it to work, and therefore, if you're the insurance company, you think of, so Cynthia, what should we know? Are there, just maybe give us a couple of links, quick ones, resources that if I were looking for this, I could find it quickly?
I think for families, there's a great group out there called FEAST. And if you just Google FEAST and eating disorders, you will find it. It's a forum for families who have been through this. They answer lots of questions about where to find treatment, how to ask if the treatment that you're getting is actually evidence-based, and how to really evaluate the treatment that you're looking for your children. And we really want to make sure that these parents have other parents who have been through this to talk to help them through this process that, as you said, they really have no guidebook for how to get through this really complicated world.
And Joan Reeder, do you have any suggestions?
I think that parents need to know, too, that treatment, the first thing needs to be weight restoration, and that is only the start. Until that the brain is healthy, there will be no recovery. So refeeding is essential at the start, but that's where the work starts.
I want to thank all of you for being on our program. Joan Reederer is a parent advocate and the founder and director of the Aaron Reederer Foundation. Cynthia Bulick is Distinguished Professor of Eating Disorders and Director of Research at the University of North Carolina Center of Excellence for Eating Disorders. Josh Sabe is the writer and director of the documentary Going Sane that you can see at the Cary Theater at 7 o'clock on August 25th. And all that information is at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thanks,
Frank.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things, produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton Orman, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.